We're learning a Hasidic discourse by the Rebbe. We're finishing basically just one more chapter. To make a very, very short summary, this Hasidic discourse is talking about Shmini Atzeres, one of the holidays, the end of the holidays of Tishrei, of the seventh month of the year. And basically, it's a Jewish holiday just for Jews. Basically, that's the way it's known around. Why? Because after the whole holiday of Sukkot, where in the temple there used to be 70 bulls offered, and the Talmud says clearly, those were for the benefit of the 70 nations. In the day of Shmini Atzeres, there was only one bull offered. Besides other things, but basically in comparison with the Sukkot offerings, why just one bull? Because it's for the Jewish people. And another example given in the Midrash, another story, so to speak, to explain what the Shmini Atzeres is, after the king had a whole party with all the ministers, etc., etc., that represents Sukkot, the king just made a party for his son. That represents Shmini Atzeres. So usually, Shmini Atzeres is seen as a very Jewish thing, nothing to do with non-Jews. Bye-bye, that's it. End. Now, the Rebbe in this discourse asks a very simple question. And that question opens, basically, a new understanding of Shmini Atzeres. What's the question? Very simple question. The question is, in Shmini Atzeres, we pray for rain. That's basically the day we pray. We start asking for rain for the land of Israel, etc., etc. And the Rebbe brings Midrashim that say that the rains are, of course, I mean, you don't need the Midrash to understand this, are for Jews and for non-Jews, of course. But the whole thing of the bringing the Midrash, the Rebbe is proving that even in the sources of our sages, clearly Shmini Atzeres is also related to non-Jews. So very nice, the examples he gave me and the bulls and the party, etc., very nice. But Shmini Atzeres is also related to non-Jews because of the rain. So how do you explain this? This actually is the trigger for the rest of the Maimon. The Rebbe explains basically that you have an expression of Torah for Jews, an expression of Torah for non-Jews, an expression of mitzvahs, commandments for Jews, and an expression of mitzvahs, commandments for non-Jews. What's Torah for Jews? What's generally Torah for Jews? Torah for Jews means the Torah by itself, how the Torah is, just to learn. And the Torah for non-Jews means to learn the seven commandments that you have to do, you have to fulfill, etc., how to do them, and what to do. And basically, it means to affect the world, to change the world. So non-Jews learn Torah, and the Rebbe brings the Talmud, famous, a non-Jew learning Torah, the part that belongs to the non-Jew also, etc., is like a high priest in the day of Yom Kippur. So it's a very holy thing. But that's the level of Torah, how the Torah affects the world. And the Jew learning Torah, it should be, of course, each one of us has his own avoida, his own work, etc., but it should be just Torah for itself, not to affect the world. That's Torah. Then you have mitzvahs, commandments. Mitzvahs for Jews would mean to grow in sanctity, to grow in connection to God, etc., as the mitzvahs are going to be in the world to come. And mitzvahs for non-Jews means, again, to refine the world, to have an effect in the world, to refine yourself, the world around you, etc. But it's clearly two different things. And then the Rebbe said, okay, there you go, you have Sukkot, that's also for non-Jews, because we offered 70 bulls and refinement of the world, etc., very nice, and in the times of the temple, of course. And then you have Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is just for Jews. But then the Rebbe went a level deeper. Even in Sukkot, you have things that are for Jews and for non-Jews, and even in Shmini Atzeres, you have things that are for Jews and for non-Jews. In Sukkot, you have commandments that only relate to Jews, like the Lulav and the Esrog, it doesn't matter, the details are not important, but you have things that are just for Jews. And then in Sukkot, clearly, you have things that are for non-Jews also, like the 70 bulls and the refinement, etc. And then in Shmini Atzeres, you find the same thing. The Rebbe called this iskalelus, combination, combinement, whatever. What's the two things in Shmini Atzeres? You have the Shmini Atzeres, so to speak, as it's by itself. That's the relationship between the Jewish people and God, the ministers and the son, etc., one bull. And then you have Shmini Atzeres as it is also for non-Jews. Rain, it should go for everybody. It's for everybody. That's basically a very, very short summary of all the concepts that we learned. Now, chapter 6, Perek Vav. And we can say maybe. Derech Epsher means maybe. Of course, what for the Rebbe is a maybe, for us is for sure, certainly. But the Rebbe says maybe. Maybe we can say. Shebishmini Atzeres Gufa Yeshnam Beis Madreges Anad. In Shmini Atzeres itself, you have the two levels that we actually, I didn't mention it in the summary, but you have the waters up, the waters down. Basically means, like we said before, the relationship between the person and God or the relationship between the person and the world. So the Jew is more focused, so to speak, on the relationship with God, not necessarily to change the world. Even though in other places, of course, it talks about changing the world, etc. Turning around the world, the Rebbe used to use the expression kera veld, like give it over and over, just turn it around. Okay, that's true also. But in this particular place, in this context, the idea is the Jew is more focused on God, on holy things and spiritual things. And the non-Jew is more focused in the world. That would be like the lower waters. So the Rebbe is saying basically you have the two things in Shmini Atzeres also. Vezeu, klalus achiluk shebein Shmini Atzeres de Simchas Torah. That's the difference between now a new, so to speak, a new idea comes up in the discourse. The difference between Shmini Atzeres itself, which is the eighth day of Sukkos, and Simchas Torah, which is the last day. The last day of Sukkos. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos de Shmini Atzeres. The Rebbe, for some reason, thought necessary to explain what he's talking about. The second day of Yom Tov, outside of the land of Israel, of Shmini Atzeres. It's the second day. Shmini Atzeres is the first day. Simchas Torah is the second day. Uki yadua maimar admur amtsoi, Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, beis inyonim, shein le'arveisam, as it's known. What the second Rebbe of Chabad said, Rav Doiver, that was his name. We call it the Mittler Rebbe, the one in the middle, whatever. The Mittler Rebbe used to say that Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah are two different things. Don't mix them. That's what he used to say. But basically, what's the explanation? Okay, what are you talking about? We are inyan bazeh. The idea is like this. Shebesimchas Torah mudgeshes ma'ilas haTorah kefi she'inai lisyoiser afilu mikima mitzvos. In the day of Simchas Torah, the second day, so to speak, of Shmini Atzeres, what's the emphasis over there? The emphasis is the virtue of the Torah, how the Torah is higher even than the fulfillment of commandments. As the fourth Rebbe of Chabad, Shmuel, Rebbe Maharash, brings in a discourse that he pronounced in Simchas Torah also, Mashikasu b'Yerushalmi, what is written in the Talmud Yerushalmi, b'inyan ma'ilas haTorah, what's written over there in Talmud Yerushalmi regarding the importance of Torah. Lekosu v'chadoimer kol chafatzim lo ish vuba. One verse says all the things, all the details. Chafatzim literally means objects. All the objects are not compared to the Torah, but it comes from the word chafetz. Chafetz means a desire. A person desires something, like in a very, very simple meaning, a person would desire to have a certain object. So all the objects, all the desires are incomparable to the Torah. That's one verse says this. Because of Echadoimer, and a different verse says, kol chafatzecha lo yishbuba. All your desires are not comparable to Torah, are not really have any comparison. But that means, all your object and desirable objects like precious stones and pearls, that's incomparable to Torah. But the second verse, all the objects are not comparable to it, to Torah. Even the objects, quote unquote, of godly objects, which are the mitzvahs, lo yishbuba, are incomparable to Torah. So, just to make it easier, a little bit easier, because maybe the verses confound things, whatever, confuse. So the idea is very simple, actually. We're comparing Torah to other things. So in one hand we say, look, there's nothing comparable to Torah. In a different place we say, wait a second. There are things that are comparable to Torah. Your things are not comparable to Torah. But other things could be compared. That's the very simple reading of the Talmud. That would mean, in simple words, look, your things, who cares? You're a human being, you're nothing. Nothing that you appreciate really compares to Torah. But mitzvahs, oh, commandments, that's a godly thing, that's comparable to Torah. That's the simple reading of the Talmud. But comes the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Rebbe of Chabad, and says something more, a deeper thing. Wait a second. Your things does not refer only to precious stones and pearls. It even refers to mitzvahs. That means, commandments, that means that, let's make a new reading of the Talmud over here. That means, look, nothing compares to Torah. Not even, quote unquote, your things, not even commandments are incomparable to Torah. Torah is way beyond even commandments, even the mitzvahs. Nimtza comes out. Das ha-Yerushalmi shekol ha-mitzvahs lo yishvu neged b'chinas ha-Torah. Comes out, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, that even the commandments are incomparable to the Torah, are nothing compared to Torah. The Leike Das ha-Bavli, and the Rebbe says between parentheses, this is not what the Talmud Bavli actually holds, but that doesn't really matter right now. Umoisif, and the Rebbe Maharash adds, and since we're now, I mean, right now, of course, we're not in Simchas Torah, but the Rebbe Maharash was talking in Simchas Torah. Since now it's Simchas Torah, Navin Das Yerushalmi. Now we're going to understand what the Talmud Yerushalmi is saying. Chafatzim mem mitzvahs. The desirable objects really refers to mitzvahs. Lo yishbuba. Are incomparable and nothing compared to the Torah. So again, we're saying over here, why did the Rebbe bring all this Torah thing and the Talmud Yerushalmi thing and the Rebbe Maharash thing? We're explaining over here what's the difference between Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. The issue, so to speak, of Simchas Torah, it's Torah, as the name actually shows, Torah. And you might think Torah could be at least compared to something else. So the Rebbe brought the Rebbe, first of all, the second Rebbe of Chabad, saying, don't confuse Shmini Atzeres with Simchas Torah. And then a little bit more explanation. Simchas Torah, the Rebbe Maharash said, is incomparable. Torah is incomparable to anything else. Bringing a Yerushalmi, etc., explaining the Yerushalmi. Now, we still don't really understand what's the issue itself, what's the level, what it means. We just know, wow, Torah is a huge, amazing thing. I don't know what, but it's an amazing thing. And that's what Simchas Torah means. That's not what Shmini Atzeres means. Shmini Atzeres is a different thing. So the Rebbe will explain. In general, the idea is like this. As it's known, in general, the explanation, what's the difference between commandments and learning? Mitzvahs and Torah. Mitzvahs are called in the Zohar, in mystic, whatever, Kabbalah, etc., the limbs of the king. What does that mean? God doesn't have limbs. It's an example. Take the limbs of your body. The Rebbe doesn't explain over here because it's not the place, but basically the idea is, just as the limbs of the body project a specific strength from the soul, a specific quality of the soul, the eyes to see, the feet to walk, and so on, in the same way, each mitzvah projects a godly energy that is particular to that mitzvah. Tefillin represents such an energy, and tzitzis represents such a different energy, and so on. That's why they're called Evarim de Malka, the limbs of the king, just like the limbs of the goof, of the body. But Torah is a different thing. It's not a limb, it's the blood, like the livelihood of a person. This is a very Hasidic classical idea. The just as the blood gives life to the body, in the same way, the blood, quote unquote, Torah, gives life to the limbs, which are the mitzvahs. That means, in very simple words, you can fulfill commandments, no problem. But you can do it in a way that you seem even dead. When you have the blood running inside of your body, then you're alive. In other words, maybe simpler words, by knowing what the Torah says about the commandments, the fulfillment of the commandment becomes a different thing, a lively thing. Otherwise, it can be a dead thing, even though you're fulfilling the commandments, but it's dead. No feeling, no enthusiasm, etc. Torah gives enthusiasm into the fulfillment of mitzvahs, of commandments. That's basically the difference between Torah and mitzvahs. וזהו הטעם שהמיצס שהם בדוגמס איבר יגוף הם בהגבלת הזמן ומקום. This is the reason why the commandments, since they are just like the limbs of the body, they have a limit of time and place. They apply in a specific time, in a specific place, in a specific shape, and so on. מה שאין כן התוירה שבדוגמס הנשמה, which is not the case with Torah, which is just like the soul, the blood, the soul, etc., the Torah is beyond the limits of time and space. That's why our sages say any person that learns the laws of a holocaust, which means the type of korban, type of offering, it is, the Torah will consider it as if you actually brought that offering. It doesn't really matter where you are, and it doesn't really matter the fact that we don't have a temple today, but you can bring that offering anyway. How? Learned it. גם כשהיינו בזמן ומקום הקורבן, הקרבה. Even if you're not in the proper place or in the proper time for making a sacrifice, even so, you can learn it, and that's how you can actually bring it, by learning it. So Torah is not limited to time and space. ונמצא, comes out, שבתוירו מיצס, גופה, הנה המיצס, שייכים לאוילם. Comes out that in Torah mitzvahs itself, mitzvahs relate to the world, the commandments have a relationship, direct relationship with the world. והיינו, that means, שגם המיצס שנאמר בהם, לכם, יש להם שייכות לאוילם. That means that even the commandments that in chapter 4, that I've explained, that since it says for you, apparently have nothing to do with the world, even though those commandments also have a relationship with the world. Because after all, mitzvahs in general have a relationship with the world. Ela, but, they are beyond the world, but have a relationship with the world. You can be beyond something and have no relationship to that, or you can be beyond something and have a relationship to that. It's two different levels. That's why the mitzvahs can actually refine the world. That's regarding mitzvahs. Which is not the case with Torah, which is completely beyond the world. And that's where in Torah it gets revealed the true thing of for you relationship with God. Just Jewish people with God. As the Rebbe said in the beginning of the whole discourse, this is just for you and no strange people together with you. That's just Torah. Now, understanding the difference between mitzvahs and Torah, that both are beyond the world, but mitzvahs have a relationship with the world, and Torah has no relationship with the world. That's the difference that you're going to find between Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. Shmini Atzeres, this particular holiday, the eighth day of Sukkot, is av shenemar bo lachem, even though it's written that it's just for you, apparently just for Jews, arei gam yom ha-geshamim shebo yismechim kulam. However, it's also a day of rain that everybody enjoys. Ela shebaze guf ha-mudgeshes ma'alasno shel Yisrael. Anderechin in ha-mitzis. But in the day of Shmini Atzeres, what's the stress? What's the emphasis? The virtue of the Jewish people. That's why we find in Shmini Atzeres, you have this example of just one bull being offered. You have the example of the king making a party just for his son. Oh, okay, so there's an emphasis. Does it mean that has no relationship at all with non-Jews? No. There's another midrash, talks about rain. So it also has a relationship. You can clearly see that there's an emphasis on something, but the other thing is also here. In other words, these are not the words of the Rebbe, this is how I understand what the Rebbe is saying. So to speak, we only saw Shmini Atzeres as a exclusively Jewish thing. Okay, so the Rebbe is saying, look, there's rain over there, and rain is for everybody. So Shmini Atzeres also has a relationship with non-Jews. Put it, if you want, like in a small table, like steps. First of all, we say, Torah is just for Jews. Who cares about the non-Jews? That's it. That's one level. Level number two, hey, wait a second. There's also things for non-Jews in Torah. Oh, really? Yeah, 7 commandments. Okay. And then you can go to the next level. Well, wait a second. There are also ramifications. It's not just 7, quote, unquote, small things. No. There's more. Oh, okay, yeah. But the holidays, forget it. It's just for Jews. No, wait a second. The Sukkos. In Sukkos, you also do things for non-Jews. Okay, so there's something for Sukkos and non-Jews. But Shmini Atzeres, just for Jews. So comes the Rebbe and says, wait a second. Shmini Atzeres also has an expression for non-Jews. There's also over there something for them. Continues the Rebbe. Ulemaila mizeh wa'inya de Simchas Torah. But there's something beyond Shmini Atzeres. Even beyond Shmini Atzeres. Simchas Torah. The last day, etc. Sheboy mudgeshes mailas haTorah kefi shehi lemaila legamre me'olam. What's the emphasis of Simchas Torah? How the Torah is completely beyond the world. Has nothing to do with the world. Shelach, and that's why kol chafatzecha avanim tovim margalia is lo yishbu ba. That's why all your objects, what are your objects? The precious stones and the pearls, etc., have no comparison to the Torah. And not only that, kol hachafatzim, even all the objects, quote-unquote, even the objects of God, the godly objects, the mitzvahs, lo yishbu ba, are also not comparable to Torah. Koilel gam ha-peiru shechafatzecho akai al maisi ha-mitzvahs, kefi shenasim avayin tovim margalies. And this includes, the Rebbe goes even one more step further, this includes the idea, the concept, the explanation that your objects, what are your objects, that refers to the action of the commandments, of mitzvahs, as they are done in a way of precious stones and pearls. Again, you can fulfill a mitzvah just because God says, and that's it, and you don't enjoy it. That's not like a precious stone. Precious stone is something nice. So, or you can fulfill a mitzvah in a way of a precious stone. But you know what? Even the mitzvahs fulfilled in a way of a precious stone have no comparison to Torah. Not at all. This whole idea of fulfilling commandments in a way of precious stones is the same thing that is explained somewhere else regarding the idea that our sages mentioned in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, in the Ethics of Our Fathers, Maisim Toivim, good actions. What does it mean, good actions? Shea Maisim Em Toivim Me'irim. The Alter Rebbe brings the idea that these actions are good. Why are they good? Because they shine. Like a nice thing. You did it really in a shining way. Ve'inyan margalyois. And the second idea, these pearls, those were the precious stones. Avanim toivois, precious stones, nice and shiny actions. But the pearls represent something else. Kimevuar belikutei Torah, as is explained in the Hasidic discourses of the Alter Rebbe, Likutei Torah, befirush tzavarecha becharuzim. When the verse says in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, tzavarecha means your neck, becharuzim is with a necklace, with like a beautiful necklace. Okay. Shecharuzim em avanim toivus margalios, sheisim baim nekef. What does it mean, charuzim? What's the explanation of this word? This refers to precious stones and pearls that you make a hole on the precious stone, on the pearl, in order to put a thread inside and make a necklace. This is something, this what the Rebbe mentions over here is deep. I'm just going to explain very, very fast, and it's really not the main thing of the Maimar, but what is he talking about? Just when you make a hole, first I'll translate, I'm sorry. This represents nullification through which is projected a revelation of the infinite light, etc., says the Rebbe. Go learn somewhere else. Don't bother me now. The idea is like this, simple, but it's very deep, very deep. You have a precious stone. The stone by itself is beautiful and doesn't really need anything else. It's just by itself, it's okay. But when you make a hole in the stone, you're revealing something deeper in the stone. You reveal that even what looks like a precious thing, that also can be nullified in order to give place, to give room to infinity. Because the precious stone might be very nice, and very very expensive and very nice. But that nicelyhood, or whatever you call it, that thing being nice, that hides infinity. You can't see beyond that. So when you make a whole, the idea that represents making a whole is even that can be nullified in order to give room to infinity. But the point over here is that Rebbe is bringing the idea that there's a deeper way, of course, of fulfilling commandments, as we explained before also. And the Rebbe is saying, Torah by itself, it's even higher than precious stones and pearls, and even higher than precious stones and pearls that have a hole in it, that give room to the revelation of the infinity, even higher than that. So it is higher than that. V'harei, lefi pirush ze muvan oy dioser godel amayla dechafatzin chafetz ha-shamayim stam shelemayla mechafatzecha. According to this explanation, we're going to understand even further, even in a deeper way, the virtue of chafatzim, your objects, that refers to mitzvahs, the objects of heavenly objects, that it's even beyond your own objects, v'afal pi ken, even so, even though we're talking about very lofty and high levels, kol chafatzecha lo yishbuba. Nothing compares to the Torah. She'einam be'erech lemailas ha-Torah kefi she'i mitzad atzma. Are incomparable to the virtue of the Torah as the Torah is by itself. Now, if you look at note 69, the last one, it says chaser asiyum, siyum ha-maimar. We don't have the end of the maimar. And what's in parentheses, ha-moitzi le'or, the one that printed this thing, is telling you, look, this is up to what we have. We don't have any more. What happens? This is 1968, 69, and probably somebody after the Yom Tov, after the holiday, wrote down whatever he wrote down, and this is all we found. There's nothing else of the Maimar. Anyway, whatever is missing, maybe we can basically understand it. The Rebbe is saying, Simchas Torah, it's clearly just for Jews. It represents something so lofty, so no relationship with no Jews. But Shmini Atzeres, there is a relationship. You can't say it's just for Jews. There's a relationship also in Shmini Atzeres for non-Jews.